got more balls than all the Democrats in Congress combined. It's Bart Cop Radio.
Is it realistic to expect this country to ever become independent when it comes to energy? Sandra in Lakeland, Florida writes, the U.S. will become independent when oil runs out. Likewise for other fuel resources. Until the money men find a way to profit from other energy sources to the extent that they profit from the current fuel sources, things will never change. Celia writes, it's a largely achievable goal if we practice conservation. We support public transportation. We commit to research and development. We subsidize alternative energy sources. We stop letting big oil write our energy policy. Fran in Fort Mill, South Carolina, we can't even get the majority of Americans to carry a cloth bag to the grocery store to alleviate our dependence on disposable plastic bags. There's no reason to think that Americans in general will willingly give up anything that makes their life easier, regardless of the cost to them or others. Craig in Arcata, California, of course it is, Jack. We grow corn. Corn can be used to make ethanol. A car run on ethanol gets better mileage, almost no emissions, and it's renewable. F in Pennsylvania writes, I think we stand a good chance. We have coal, gas, oil, and we don't need to kill the caribou to do it. We need a little discipline with our own people in America. We don't need the biggest cars. We can wear a sweater now and then. I burn coal, shovel it, and carry the ashes. I'm a woman, age 60. I work for my heat, but my home is comfortable. I can afford a large car, but I drive a small Subaru. And JW writes, yes, but not under this president. Wolf.
And Jack, you might be surprised to hear the president will say tonight, and we're going to hear this shortly in the excerpts released, the United States must stop its addiction to oil.
Okay, I got some news for you, and it's the kind of news that any moron with an IQ of 64 and a modem can explain. The world is drowning in cheap oil. That's why, under Clinton, there was no reason to develop. People say Clinton had no energy policy. Well, he didn't need one. We were drowning in cheap oil. It's like, what kind of oxygen policy do we have? Well, I don't know. Every time I turn around, I got another breath of air in my lungs. So do we need an oxygen policy? And don't tell me about the environment and pollution and all that. I'm just saying it's plentiful. We couldn't burn the oil if we tried. Now think about it for a second. What's different between right now and the day Clinton left office? Let's get wildly exaggerational, a new word, and say China is producing 10% more than they were when Clinton left office. That's not true. They're probably up 3% or 5%. It's nowhere near 10%. But let's say 20%. Let's say China is using 20% more oil than they were when Clinton left office. Okay, now what else has changed? For the last 5 years, for the last 15 years, we were doing some idiotic oil for food program in Iraq, which basically meant we're only going to let you sell enough oil to trade for enough food to feed the children. I don't know what kind of numbers that means, but let's say instead of producing oil 30 days a month, they produced oil 2 days a month. Okay, so in the last 5 years, China went up 20%. Very, very fair. Wild exaggeration, but what is Bart Cop Radio if not fair? So let's say China went up 20%. Iraq went from 2 to 30. Okay, so Iraq went up 15 times. Iraq's second biggest supplier in the world. They've increased output 15 times, and China went up 20%. Wild exaggeration. I mean, so bottom line, we are still drowning in cheap oil. We are drowning in it. We have so much cheap oil, we can't give it away. But the difference is the monkey oil president. That's what he's doing. He's taking all that oil from Iraq and he's putting it into his little personal checking account. He's piping it down to Kuwait, and Kuwait owes their very existence to the Bush family. So yeah, they're going to go along with whatever scheme because hell, for all we know, they play hardball with Kuwait and say, you can do this favor for us and store this $130 million worth of oil per day, and you can do this for us for the next 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 years, or we'll just say, oh, satellite photos, some mad dictator's coming to blow you up, and then we'll just kill everyone. And who's going to disagree? Just like the reporters in Iraq. What reporter's going to go to Kuwait after it's invaded? Damn it. So I'm sure you'll agree with me that Kuwait is going to do anything the Bush family tells them to, because death and losing their empire is the alternative. Now, add to that, is the United States using a whole lot more oil than they were 5 years ago? No. We might, like China, we might have gone up 3 or 4 or 5%. But gas prices have, what, doubled? It is a giant hand job. All that money is going right into Bush's pocket. It's, well, Bush and the oil companies and those bastards that are running the world. They are just robbing, raping, stealing from everybody. And we just take it because we're Democrats and we choose to take that rape and robbery rather than to say, hey, what the hell's going on? Every time a Democrat's in front of a camera, they could say, why are we paying double for oil? We got 2,200 dead soldiers. We own Iraq's oil fields. Are you trying to tell me the American military can't tame a bunch of idiot cave dwellers that are walking around with suicide vests on them? Of course they could, but they just don't want to. Bart's Law number 2. If you make $132 million every day there's chaos, are you going to have law and order or are you going to have chaos? Duh.
What a crowd. What a crowd. Now, I tell you, I'm all right now, but last week I was in rough shape, you know? Now, last week I found a guy's wallet. Inside was a picture of my two kids. And I tell you, my kids are no bargain either, you know. The other day I told my kid about the birds and the bees. He went out, he knocked up a sparrow. I mean, when I was a kid, it was different. I had it rough. When I was 2 years old, my parents got a dog, and I was jealous of the dog. So they got rid of me. I mean, that's the story of my life. No respect. I don't got no respect at all. No respect at all. Are you kidding? No respect at all. The other day, I called up my wife. She told me she had a new position. I ran home. The position was already filled. I'll tell you, though, when I have sex with my wife, I always have a mirror in the room. Yeah, I put it under her nose. She's just breathing.
But you need to understand. Word on the street, he's still your man. Look out, here comes your rainy day. So you think you got a good reason to say it. Even though his mic is broken.
Who's the guilty one when there ain't no judge or jury? Shout out to the sun and to the one. Hell ain't got no hearing.
Headline, Crooked Sons of Bitches. No, that was my headline. The real headline is Car Renters Stuck with Storm Damage. Car rental giant Hertz has changed its contracts to make customers responsible for damage from acts of nature. It told its best customers last month that they'll be responsible for auto damage from natural causes such as wind storms, hurricanes, and tornadoes. In the past, it was the rental firm's responsibility. Avis and Budget are moving in the same direction. Hertz told its number one club members of the policy after quietly implementing it last year for the rest of its customers. Oh, so the broke guy has to pay for the damage, but the number one gold member doesn't. You know, it's always the rich get richer. You know, if we're going to screw someone, let's screw the guy who can't fight back. That just seems just pussy to me. A bully is going to pit, you know, if you're a strong arm robber, purse snatcher kind of guy. Yeah, you're going to go for the little old cripple lady with a walker. You're going to steal her money because it makes more sense than trying to steal some money of a 25-year-old girl who, hell, for all you know, might know a little karate. She might be an athlete. She might be able to kick your ass. So you go ask the little old lady with the walker. That's what American business is about. Find the weakest in the herd and pounce on them and beat them to death and eat them. That's how they do it at Hertz. Hertz said it's not the first company to make the change. That's not a defense, which it says was underway before Katrina hit. But spokesman Richard Broom says catastrophic storm shows why customers should be liable. Renters were aware of the approaching hurricane. Oh, I see. The people who rented a car should have known a hurricane was coming, but George Bush is off the hook because nobody could have predicted. The storm was coming, Condi Rice. So they should have returned the vehicles before it struck or drove them to safety. Oh, yeah. I'm in New Orleans for 3 days. I rented a car. I'm going to drive it to Baton Rouge. There you go. That makes sense. The general principle has always been that the renter is responsible for it. I'll tell you what this is about. So, well, here, let me finish a little bit. National Alamo Thrifty. You know, Alamo is a whore company. It is the worst of all the whore car rentals. Alamo. Oh, I owe you one. Let me put it that way. I'm going to get even with Alamo someday. National Alamo Thrifty Dollar and Enterprise also hold renters responsible. It's outrageous, says customer advocate Clarence Somebody at the Center for Auto Club Safety, a group founded by Ralph Nader. Just because of its industry-wide practice doesn't make it fair. What this is about is about raping the customer, as always, but I used to be a finance man. I was before, well, I owned nightclubs. I did the GMAC thing, but before that, I was a regular old hatchet man, finance man for like Beneficial. It was a company just like Beneficial. Beneficial bought them and then fired all of us. They constantly stress they make their money from the insurance. We would loan $1,000 to a guy, and of course, we charge them 30% interest, and that's a lot of money, but no, they want more because they're greedy, like Texas oil sons of bitches. So we loan a guy $1,000 and we say, and we don't tell the guy. We ambush him here at the last minute. You know, a lot of times if you need $1,000, you don't expect to go by the finance office and spend a couple hours. You expect to drop by and pick up your check. So when the guy drops by to pick up his check, we explain to him, we're giving you $1,000. You're going to pay back $1,400. He's going, whoa, what is $1,400? What the hell's what? Well, actually, you borrowed the $1,000 and then we loaned you another $100 for accident and health insurance. And we loaned you another $50 for life insurance. And the guy's saying, dude, I'm not married to you. I'm not buying a house. I just want $1,000. Why are you insuring my life? Why are you selling me accident and health insurance? Well, because, sir, tell you what, sir, if you don't want to pay those couple extra pennies, if you have 3 hours to wait, I can retype the contract. No, I don't have 3 goddamn hours. Okay, I'll sign it. And he leaves. And he's pissed off. But, hey, the company made a couple of extra dollars raping this guy. You know, the law says you have to tell the guy, and the law says you have to, if he complains, the law says you have to let him out of it. So you say, fine, sir, we'll let you out of it. Got 3 hours to wait? If you want to sit over there in the hot sun and forget all the shit you had to do today while I retype the contract as slowly as I can, one keystroke at a time, then we'll get you a little bit cheaper rate, you know, at 5:30 instead of 2:30 like you thought. No, give me the damn money. That's what they count on. And American corporations are such greedy sons of bitches. Here's what they do. We did one of those one time. It was a bigger loan. This guy, let me think how it worked. We loaned him some serious money, maybe $10,000, something like that, and we used his house as collateral. Well, no, maybe not. Maybe it was just like a $5,000 loan. And what they do, if you have no collateral to put up, you have the guy put up what they call household goods, which means his TV, his couch, his refrigerator, you know, pretty much everything he owns. So then if he misses a payment, you call him and say, hey, Ralph, guess what? If you're not here Friday, we're coming to your house with a truck. We're going to take your furniture. We're going to take your TV. We're going to take your refrigerator. We're going to take the kids' toys. We're going to take every damn thing in the house. If you're not here Friday, Ralph, you lose everything. Got it, Ralph? See, that's the pressure they put on you. And that's bad enough, but American corporations, it always gets worse. And here's what happened. This one poor bastard, he did that. He insured, he borrowed, I don't remember the details, but I know we used his household goods as collateral. And then his house blew the hell up. I don't know if it was a gas leak or what it was, but we went by there the next day and there was no house. It looked like Katrina or a tornado or whatever. There was like a couple of pipes sticking out of the ground and that was all. Nobody was home. Nobody got hurt. But his entire house was destroyed, and they pressured me when I made the loan. They said, now, Bart, what you got to do, you got to sign this guy for all this extra insurance. We did him the accident health insurance, we did him the life insurance, and then separately we sold him another policy for $300-$400 that covered the contents of the collateral. And then, boom, the whole house went up in smoke, well, in a flash, and it just blew the hell up. So now this guy looks at me and says, Bart, I sure am glad you sold me all that insurance because I got nothing. I got no house. I got no couch. I got no I got nothing. So I go back to the office and I tell the district manager, whatever, and he says, Bart, hey, fuck this guy. You know how much money it costs to replace all that? You got to figure a way out of this. And I'm going, what are you talking about? You put me on the line. I look this guy in the eye and say, you got to insure this stuff in case, what if it goes bad? And now that it's gone bad, you tell me to go screw the guy out of his money. I can't do it. And I don't remember. I think I got fired before this case came to fruition. So I don't think I remember what happened. But let me tell you a little sidebar what else I did. I had an assistant manager who had a bad heart. And when he came on board, he signed up for all the, you know, they say, do you want us to take accident and health out of your paycheck? He said, yes. They said, do you want us to take life insurance out of your paycheck? He said, yes. Do you want us to take this and that? He said, yes. And then the guy died. And so district manager, he calls me, he says, Bart, the paperwork, had, you know, they took the money out of this guy's check. And then he fucking dies. And then they tell me, hey, Bart, the paperwork didn't go through quite in time. You know, we didn't quite get him insured. And so it turns out we're not giving his family a dime. And I thought, you can't do that. Son of a bitch, this guy worked with this guy for like a year. And now you're telling me that after taking this money out of his check, you're just going to fight. He just got married, you know, didn't have any kids, but he'd been married maybe a year or less. Yeah, it must have been more. He was with me a year and he was married, so maybe a year and a half. But he's a newlywed, 23, 25 years old, and now he's effing dead. And now his wife tells me, gee, Bart, sure, I'm glad we got that $200,000 coming in because I'm broke. And, the district manager wants me to tell the lady, sorry, didn't work. And I told the boss, I ain't going to do it. I'll go with you to a point. But, I knew this guy. I can't look at his wife and say, sorry, honey, it didn't work. And he said, Bart, you have to do it. I said, I'm not going to do it. And he said, I want you to listen to my words now. You're making a fatal mistake. And I said, well, hopefully you're not going to fucking kill me. What do you mean fatal mistake? What he meant was this is your job. And I thought, well, fuck it. I'll screw some pennies or some dollars out of people. But I'm not going to tell this widow that the money that they paid into the life insurance policy. Yeah, the company was so kind. They were refunded the money to this widow, the 100 or 200, 300, whatever it was that he paid into this life insurance. They gave her that money back. They said, sorry, paperwork didn't go through. But the truth is they chose not to pay. Anytime you deal with an insurance company, the guy who you're negotiating with gets paid by the dollar. If you owe the customer $10,000 and he sells for $5,000, that $5,000 goes into your, not your pocket, but that $5,000 goes into your account. And at the end of the month, whoever has the biggest account gets a trip to Hawaii or something like that. The sons of bitches. Anytime you deal with any insurance company on anything, listen now, this is damn important. Say you total your car. What the insurance company is going to do is say, well, let's say you had a 2000 Honda and had some miles on it, had some dents. We'll give you $4,400 for it. You say, fuck you. I owe $9,000 on it. And they say, well, no, I'm sorry. $4,400 is what the car is worth. And most people, 8 or 9 out of 10, are going to say, well, okay. And they take their $4,400 and they slink off. But here's what you do. You say, fuck you. I'm not taking it. Bullshit. That car was worth $10,000. I know. You know it, Bob. Don't know. American people know it. I'm not taking $4,400. Bullshit. You can shove that check up your ass and go and hire an attorney. And you slam the phone down. 5 minutes later, the phone rings. The guy calls back and says, oh, dude, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My bad. I'm sorry. I was looking at the SL. You had the SE. You're right. I was wrong. I apologize. I was looking at the wrong column. I my bifocals were bad. I didn't like. You get $6,400, not $4,400. I'm sorry. I apologize. And people think, well, hell, the guy made an innocent mistake, and my bluff worked, and I forced the man to do my bidding, and then they take that extra $2,000, and they feel happy, but they just got screwed out of the $3,600. You know, they didn't get the $10,000. They got the $6,400. Trust me, this is how it works. I was the insurance guy that was hired to screw the people. I know how this works. So anytime at all, you deal with an insurance company, it's a negotiation. Exactly the same when you go buy a used car. You go buy a used car and the guy says, that car is $10,000. You say, no, I'll give you $7,000 for it. And he'll say, oh, I don't know. I'll check with the boss. Boss says he'll take $9,000. Screw you. I'll give you $7,000 for it. Boss is pretty hard nosed. I don't think he'll go for it. Oh, but he said he'll take $8,000. Screw you. I'll give you $7,000 or I'm walking the fuck out of here and you're never going to see me again. And they got $4,000 in the car, so they can sell for $7,000 and make $3,000. But no, greedy sons of bitches. They want $10,000. That's how it is with the insurance companies. Swear to God, listen to me on this. Anytime you deal with the insurance company, you tell them no, shove it up your ass the first 3 times. And every time you do, you say, do I need an attorney? Like in Tulsa here, the tallest building in town is Bank Oklahoma Building. It looks exactly like the World Trade Center. It's really creepy after 9/11. But it's like 50 stories tall. It's the best we can do in Oklahoma. And I always used to say that when I negotiate with these guys. I say, tell you what, I'm going to go to the Bank of Oklahoma Building downtown. I'm going to find the most expensive attorney I can, hire him on retainer, and me and him going to fuck your company. And they say, oh, look here. Oh, you're right. I had the wrong line. Turns out instead of 64, it's 8,400. I'm sorry. My bad. I apologize. I had the wrong line. And then, you know, you figure, well, hell, 8,400. He started at 44. I got an extra 4,000 out of the guy. I'm a winner. And you leave having only been screwed out of 1,600. So that's it. I could go on this subject forever, as I kind of have. But anytime they deal with insurance company, you tell them, shove it up their ass the first three times and probably maybe take the fourth offer. And if you don't like the fourth offer, get an attorney. He might charge you $500. He'll write one hot letter. We are prepared to go to court. We know you lying sons of bitches are screwing the little guy again. A jury would love to see this case. This poor little guy makes $30,000 a year, and here's the mighty Allstate or the mighty... the umbrella, the Travelers company, you know, you multi-billion, trillion-dollar companies trying to screw the little guy. A jury would love a case like that. Let's go to trial. That's when they write you the $10,000 check. You give the lawyer $500. Now you got $9,500. Some bitches start out at $4,400. You made $5,100 extra dollars. Hell, that'll buy you a car in Tulsa.
Bueno, damas y caballeros, un placer poder estar aquí con ustedes aquí en este gran programa de comedia en mi ciudad natal de Nueva York. Déjenme acordarles que las opiniones expresadas por su comediante esta noche no reflejan necesariamente la posición de la administración de Comedy Central. Ahora vamos a ver si están listos para gozar. ¿A dónde está mi gente? That's how I flush out my people. A lot of Latinos out there these days, because we are now the biggest minority in the country. Biggest minority of all the people there are least of, we are the biggest of that group. Yeah. Everybody's speaking Spanish now. George Bush speaks Spanish. Little better than he speaks English. But he speaks it. That's why I love him in Miami, and because he speaks Spanish and because he hates Castro. Won't even refer to Castro as president. It's always Mr. Castro. And Castro refers to Bush as El Pendejo Jr. That's about right. I don't go that far. I just call him number 43. 40? Have you people been keeping count? Anyway, so far we've had 43 white male presidents in a row. That's a hell of a lucky streak. I don't know how they pull that one off. And you ever mention, oh, don't worry about it. Someday there's going to be a black president. Someday there's going to be a black guy in the White House. Like, that's going to even everything out. I get stuck on that number 43. 43. I think if you're asking how far away this country is from true social equality, I'd have to say we're at least roughly 43 black presidents in a row away. From that point. No. And I'm not saying it could never happen. I'm not being pessimistic. I'm saying the sun's gonna burn out. In about 6 billion years, that might not be enough time for the law of probability to catch up and spit out 43 black presidents in a... People don't realize how difficult that... You could get all the way to 41. White guy gets in, you got to start all over. All right, my name's Bill Santiago. Thank you so much.
I swear I'm going to slap somebody now.
Excuse me for asking, Milt, but... kind of dead in here, isn't it?
You don't listen too good, do you?
Is he that bird at the faro table?
You back that queen again, you son of a bitch, I'll blow you right up that wildcat's ass. Do you hear me, huh?
He comes barging in here one day, slapping all the customers, waving his gun around. He chased out all the high-class play. The only trade comes in and out is just the bummers and the drovers. Just the dregs.
Why don't you get rid of him, get yourself a straight dealer?
Sure, stranger. That's easy for you to say.
Shit. And God damn it, Junior, how many times am I going to have to tell you to keep that damn cigar out of my face? Huh? Christ almighty, it's like I'm sitting here playing cards with my brother's kids or something. You nerve-wracking sons of bitches. Something on your mind?
Just want to let you know you're sitting in my chair.
Is that a fact?
Yeah, that's a fact.
Well, for a man that don't go heels, you run your mouth kind of reckless, don't you?
No need to go heel to get the bulge on a tub like you.
Is that a fact?
That's a fact.
Well,
I'm real scared.
Damn right you're scared. I can see that in your eyes.
All right, man.
Go ahead. Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Listen, mister, I'm getting awful tired of your...
I'm getting tired of your gas. Now jerk that pistol and go to work. I said throw down, boy. You gonna do something or just stand there and bleed?
The world's largest publicly traded oil company put out some staggering numbers today. ExxonMobil reported that it made more than $36 billion in profit last year. That is the biggest corporate profit in U.S. history.
It's well known that Bob Schieffer, who you just heard, is one of the biggest whores that works for any of the major networks. Bob Schieffer is the whore that, after watching Bush debate his first presidential debate, said he was flabbergasted or astounded at Bush's command of foreign policy. He was just blown away by Bush's encyclopedic knowledge of every country on the earth. Boy, he was just a monster on all the big issues. Jesus Christ, Bob, jump off the Empire State Building with your admiration for the brains on this Bush boy. You're a whore, Bob. Everybody knows it. Okay, so Bob Schieffer is a whore. CBS's big anchor, because CBS is a whore network. But we got to give credit where it's due. Bob Schieffer gave a full 15, it was almost 15 seconds he devoted to this massive gouge rape that Bush and his oil buddies are putting on us. 15 entire seconds he mentioned on this story. Never mind that maybe 150 million families are having a bad time getting through this. You know, a tank of gas used to be 15 bucks, now it's 35. And that's no big issue to Bob Schieffer. He makes $3-5 million a year. He can afford gas if it goes to $50 a gallon. Bob Schieffer's got no trouble with that. But Bob Schieffer's spending almost 15 seconds on this story. Go, Bob! You're so fair and honest. You're impartial. Geez, Bob, you're doing such a good job representing the little guy, representing the families, Bob. If you didn't know, Bob Schieffer's brother works for the Bush administration. Nobody likes a whore, Bob.
Listening to Bart Cop Radio.